Morning. Bear with me. This is kind of fresh, getting back and going through all this, so try to not get too emotional. We were approached to talk today about the sanctity of life, which is close to all of us as believers, but we really had to condense what was a 10-year process into 5 minutes, so I'm not going to be able to touch on everything. So please, if you ever see us out, church, walking, grocery shopping, grab this if you got a question, if you want to hear about it, please, we're an open book. God really just, it was unbelievable. It's been unbelievable, still is, long way to go. Here's Navi, of course, she's back, and safe. And then the insert, great job with that. If you guys read through that and look at some of the statistics, and some of that stuff is really how to help out. Of course, not everybody's called to adopt, so there's different ways to help. I came up last February and kind of said some stuff about all this. Really kind of go through the Bible, because that's where you start, is the scripture. There's so much in there about orphan care and what we're to do that I can't, I had a list and it was long and I had to stop it. There's over 40 in the Old Testament alone. Really, I just ended up with James. He says it best, chapter 1, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's pretty straightforward right there. In the handout, it says there's 15.1 million orphans. How we define orphans kind of impacts that study. There's a study by UNICEF. There's actually over 150 million worldwide in orphan care. The 15.1 are the ones who don't have parents. Unfortunately, there's a large mass, almost 90% of them, that do have parents that are alive. They're just not with them. So that's something to definitely be prayed about. Like I said, not everybody's called to adopt. I had a quote from David Platt last time that I thought I wanted to say again. He's an author, an adoptive father as well, and he kind of says, I always questioned if I was called to adopt, but then I realized no child was ever called to be an orphan, which are pretty strong words. So very quickly, I'll just run through kind of our story. We were how we felt called by God to adopt, and of course end up with Navi here. It was in 2009 when we had a little bit of struggles with our first child, getting pregnant with our first child, Hannah. Jamie really felt led at that point that someday we were going to adopt. I still had some more probably reserves about it at that time. So we kind of fast forward to 2012 when we felt like we were going to really move forward with it. Actually put a check, the first check you put into your agency in the mail, and I was doing some yard work that day, and the check was in the mailbox. Jamie comes out and says, "Guess what? I'm pregnant." And we actually went to the mailbox and got the check back out, because you can't adopt overseas while you're pregnant. So delayed it a little bit, but 2012 was also another big year. I went on the first mission trip to the Dominican. Just seeing the orphans there was really something that was put upon my heart. 2 weeks after I got back from the mission trip, Jamie had a longtime friend, best friend in her life, name was Shashi, who was of an Indian culture, Indian descent, and she unfortunately, unexpectedly passed away. That kind of shaped and molded us, because originally we weren't going to adopt a girl, we were going to get a boy, and from a completely different country. And over time it kind of was, I was like, I wouldn't know what to do with a boy. I'll just join the three girls club here at Central, and obviously we're going to go to India. And so we kind of knew, but you don't know when. That's what God does. You make a deal with him and say, I'm going to do this, then he paves the way. So time went on. We used a company called Lifeline. It's out of Birmingham. They're a great ministry. They've been awesome. Encourage anybody, if they're ever thinking about adopting or even want to help out, to look them up. There's plenty of things that you can do with them to help out. So I kind of want to just go three quick stories. Like I said, there's so much. I didn't know what to say. Number one, I guess during the process of adopting, you go through home studies, you go through a lot. You go through courses, education. And we went to a 2-day conference that Lifeline had down in Birmingham. And part of this, they brought up people who had adopted, and you have little sessions, and one of the sessions was about how to talk to people when you're out in public when you have an adopted kid, because you're going to get questions. And so that was, they were up there talking, and it kind of hit me. Unfortunately, one of my shortcomings as a Christian is sharing my faith sometimes with strangers. I'm not very good at it. Sometimes I shy away from it when I shouldn't. And when I was up there listening to him talk, it hit me that for the rest of my life, when Navi comes home, I'm going to have an opportunity every day to share what happened. And it has. Since she's been home, there's a waiter in Birmingham who, when we were down there last week, who said, "I think what you're doing is awesome." And, you know, and you get to talk about your faith. You get to talk about it. And it's just right there. And it's becoming a lot easier with that, to be honest. And so that's one. That's just one small little portion. Another one was when we're traveling to go get her. We have a file about like this that you have to take to India. You have all kinds of paperwork you can imagine that you go through. We left Huntsville, get to Chicago, get on the bus, go to Terminal 5 to leave. We're taking Qatar Airways. We get out, and they're calling our name on the PA system. I was like, oh, no. What's happening now? It was right off the bat. So we go over there, and there's two ladies at the booth where you're going to fly out, and she says, "I need to see your visas." And, of course, we pull out, and then we realize that the only copy for Hannah and Maggie that we had was the electronic version, which you have to have the hard copy. It's like, oh, golly, I can't believe this is happening. So she's like, "Look, you maybe go to the lobby and get them to print it out for you." So we go around the lobby, walk in the lobby, the printer's broken. And I'm like, oh, no, okay, we're still in Chicago. There's got to be something we can do. But obviously, what do? You pray. You sit down and pray and say, "God, it's just started. Let's, you know, not now. Let's we got to get to India." So we go back to the lady, tell her it's broken. She says, "Well, let me see your two visas." So we show her our two visas. And when you go, when you're adopting from India, you have a big list of why you're going for your visa, and adopting is not on there. You have to put something else. We weren't really thinking about this when we was talking to this lady, unfortunately. But so she looks at it, and of course she says, "Why, you know, why are you going to India?" And we, of course, say, "Well, we're adopting a child." And she's, "What it said?" But it says, and she stops, and she does a double take, and she looks back up at us, and she says, "I lost my child, one of my children, many years ago to sickness, and I had another child that had always wanted me to adopt, and I never did, and I regretted it." And she teared up, and Jamie teared up, and the other lady teared up, and everybody behind us waiting on us, and so we're all hugging. Now they come around the corner, we're hugging, and it's great. And she's like, "I'm going to help you guys out. Just email me the e-visas, and we'll get them printed out." Sure enough, we go down 10 minutes later, she comes back and hugs again and hands it to us. She was actually a little upset we weren't flying back through Chicago on the way home to meet the child, but I can't tell you how many times something like that happened in a row. And a lot of that is you guys praying for us. The support that you guys had is unbelievable. So when we talk about Sanctity of Life Sunday, you guys definitely have already had a huge hand in getting this orphan, no longer an orphan home, and to her forever home. And I can't say thank you enough. One more story about the Sanctity of Life. And this isn't meant to offend anything. India is a great place. We met many people that were awesome people there. But we go to the orphanage on the day that we first meet Navi and the day that we're going to take her home or with us. And there's a head lady of the orphanage, I guess, that you go in. And she wanted to talk to us before Navi came in. And she could not understand why we were adopting a girl with special needs when she saw that we had our other two children here. And it kind of speaks a little bit to how life is viewed. And us as believers have a huge responsibility, as we said in James, being charged to do things. And they couldn't understand why we would do something like that. And in general, girls' lives are not valued as much in India, unfortunately, sometimes. So I'm really honored to be able to come up and talk about the Sanctity of Life. As we all know, as believers, we're all adopted. We're all adopted into God's kingdom. You've all helped us so much. It's amazing, and please, that's not the end of the story. If you have ever, you know, if we can get something together and do something further, I'm telling you, every time there's a problem, immediately a door was opened on this trip. And I know that everybody was there praying and everybody was supporting us. So thank you so much. We love you guys. Thank you.